Liz Duffy Adams's playful comedy Orr is based on the real life of Britain's first female playwright, Aphra Behn.
The production runs this September 4th in Shakespeare and Company, Tina Packer Playhouse, and is staged in the round.
Alice Regan is the director. She joins us this morning along with actors Todd Randolph and Alan Burrows, and it's a great pleasure to welcome this trio to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you all here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right. So let us begin with Alice as to how things are going. You get ready. You open tonight.
We open tonight.
The fact that you're here on opening night, that's very nice of you to take it out of your schedule. So how have the previews been going, and how's it looking?
Preview's been going great. It's been wonderful to have an audience and find out what's funny, find out where the laughs are coming. You know, it's just nice to have that feedback with the audience, finally. So we're looking forward to tonight.
That's great.
Do you have the jitters?
I really don't. I feel like I should, especially because you're asking. but this is a very experienced cast, and it's been a dreamy rehearsal process. So we're just going to slide right into opening.
Well, we all know that the director is the one who says, go here, do this, do that. But these Shakespeareans have minds of their own.
Don't they?
Does this make it difficult to sort of tell them what to do?
You know, I really wouldn't describe my job as telling Alan and Todd and Nehisayu what to do. It's been a collaboration, I would say, and it's never the director's job just to dictate, or at least not the way I see the job.
Well, what do you do anyway?
This is like my worth, huh? Let's see.
No, Alan is just stirring the pot. I can see that, like, right from the get-go.
Well, Tina isn't here, so happy.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I had the good sense to read the play and figured that this was a really great show for Shakespeare and Company, and I brought it to their attention. So that was the first thing I did.
So I did a line about what it was about, but if you could go into a little more detail of the show and what we get in the time that we spend with you in the theater.
Absolutely. So Orr, comma, that's the title, Orr with a comma, is a comedy about one night in the life of Aphra Behn, who was the first professional female playwright. She lived from 1640 to 1689, which was the time of the Restoration. For anyone who doesn't have their history books open. And the Restoration was the time when women could actually act. The theaters were open, first of all. Women could act on stage. And Aphra Behn found a place for herself as a writer. So the play takes place over one night when she's just launching her career. An old lover has stumbled into her apartment. Her current lover is hiding in the bedroom, and she's also falling in love with an actress. This all takes place over the course of about 12 hours, in our case, 90 minutes. And the other interesting thing about this play is that there are seven characters, but only three actors. So two of the actors take on three roles. So there's quite a bit of running around backstage and quick costume changes.
How many roles do you have, Todd?
One.
How'd you get?
I have three at last count.
Yeah. Well, that's
yeah, and two of those are confused individuals, so anywhere from three to five number of characters.
Okay.
Yeah. I could say something, but I refuse to get another letter from the mental health people.
You saw me pull up short, didn't you?
And Alan, how many characters do you have?
That's A-L-L-Y-N.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's Todd.
I'm Todd.
I'm Todd. Yeah, I apologize.
That's all right. I have a boy's name. Yeah. It's happened all my life. Yeah. No, it's I just play Aphra. And Nehisayu, who couldn't be with us today, she plays Nell Gwyn, and a theater manager by the name of Lady Davenant. And then she plays my lifelong loyal servant, Mariah, who's a very important character also. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And in the telling of this, what is the, because we just heard of the running around backstage and getting everything. So is that invigorating? Is that exciting? Is that frustrating? Would you prefer that not be the case? Right. Is that a pain?
Well, I have to do one less hike on the Jochen Trail a week because of all the running around. I play Charles II, who has a certain stillness about him. I also play William Scott, who is a spy. Whose father may or may not have been helped in the killing of Charles II's father.
Right? So why do you do this? Do you do this because it's cheaper that way for each person to play a number of roles, or you do it because it has a certain artistic merit to it?
Well, they pay us triple. when we pay more than one role.
Isn't that great?
But no, it's the conceit of the play, and I'll let Alice speak to that.
It's the playwright. Yeah.
It's written into the play that way, right? We didn't make that choice about doubling up on roles. We talked about that, about why she's doing it. I think, yes, it is less expensive, I suppose, and you could do the show with seven actors, but really it's an artistic decision because the three characters that we're left with at the end of the show are really the ones that I think the audience connects with and the ones that the playwright wants us to acknowledge as the ones that are going to move forward, and that's Aphra Behn, Charles II, and Nell Gwynn, the actress who stumbles into Aphra's apartment. Hmm. And so the whole play is actually a rotating trinity of different characters who come on and off, and everyone's falling in love with each other also. So it's really fun, I think, for the audience to track, oh, she's in love with him, but now he's somebody else. stuff like that.
Interesting. Now, you're a Northamptonian, right?
I lived there for a couple years in my 20s, but I live in New York City now.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, we love Northampton. That's all. The only reason. I was trying to make a little hay with that. You see?
Yeah.
Well, okay, on to you, Joe.
Okay, so in the direction of the play, what are the challenges in doing that?
Oh, boy. The biggest challenge was we're in the round. And the play was not written that way. The play was written to be in a proscenium so that people could be popping in and out of doors.
Ooh.
In the round, we don't have any doors.
What was that word, proscenium?
Oh, you know, when the actors are at one end and the audience is the other end.
Oh, I see. Like Got that. It. Yeah, yeah, like a regular theater.
That's right.
Yes, that's right.
So in the round, we've got to figure out what the entrances and exits mean and how to get Alan to change very quickly without just having two doors next to each other.
Yeah. Does anybody ever see you do the change?
No, not in this case. And very few people have seen me run into the poles backstage and, trip over myself as I'm trying to get around.
Hey, don't get hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we do hear it.
We hear it, though. The yelling.
Yeah. The running. I mean, it kind of gives it away. Some people have been known to check their programs when I come on as the other guy.
Yes, we've
first,
seen that.
You know, because, the costumes are such that it is a good disguise. But it's given away when you hear me at full gallop backstage.
Well, Joe and Sarah gave me this thing to read about the name of the play, and I came to Orr. I thought it might be the name of the play, of course, is Orr. I thought it might be a misprint. So I sort of stumbled into it because I didn't know whether it was Orr or Oi, which would be a possibility. Or yet other...
Oi is a very good play. Have you seen it?
Oi.
Oi. Ay, ay, ay. Yeah.
No, right. Why is it called Oi?
Because it's one of the themes is... there are a number of reasons. One of the themes is about opposites. And we all embody opposites within...
our persona.
And how we play different roles in life. We might be one thing or we might be another. And
I don't understand this at all.
No, you wouldn't, would you, Alan?
No.
You're always one thing.
You are and. The play about you would be called and. It is as a conjunction that represents kind of a crossroads of two opposites. You have a dialectic at work, so you have, it's the energy that is, transferred between two opposites, right?
Your colleagues are so impressed that you're pulling this off right now.
Dialectic.
Yeah.
That's a word that never came up.
You see how far they let me get into it, though, right?
Wow, like, that's good.
Wow, he's off again, talking about the dialectic. Antoinette Artaud, in the theater and his double, talked about, really, when you go to what makes live theater different and more engaging than, flicking on the tube or watching Netflix, is that you are in the room engaged in being part of this energy that's being transferred back and forth between individuals.
Does that energy change from night to night in terms of performances?
Absolutely. That's our hedge. And it's not that you have to come back the next night so you can take part in, it's a different play, even though it's the same play, but the energy is different. Just the fact that you're in the room knowing that you're seeing a unique performance. And, the same is true with us playing different characters, right? So that as the the whole philosophy around the internal and the yin and the yang, and everything is reflected right down to the fact that we're playing doubles. So,
I want to go back to something that Alice mentioned very early in our conversation about that this fit in with Shakespeare and Company. How so? How does it fit into the overall?
Oh, I thought it was just an incredible challenge for the actors, first of all. I've been coming to see this company for years, my time in Northampton and before. And so I knew that it was an incredible company. And I thought that this was an appropriate challenge for these actors. And secondly, because it's a language play. Much of the play is written in verse. And it is contemporary language as well. So it's a really nice combination of paying attention to the beauty of language and the play of language. And also, it's a new play, and they speak like we speak a lot of the time. And so that just seemed to me like a really nice, well, bringing together opposites.
Well, can they use words? Do they use words that you couldn't use on the radio right now?
Yes,
absolutely.
They do.
Indeed.
Did they back in the day?
Absolutely.
Yes, especially our favorite one.
Which was the case even in Shakespeare, right?
That's
it's enlightening. Great language in Shakespeare. Have you had the I would assume fortune of having Liz with you?
Yes, we've been very lucky. Liz has had this show premiered in New York in 2009, and it's had subsequent productions around the country. But she was very excited that it was coming to Shakespeare and Company. And since we both live in New York, we were able to meet up before rehearsal started. We talked about the play just in general. She came to first rehearsal. Mm. And even though she said, I'm not a historian, she just expounded for 45 minutes about this time period, this woman, why she's excited by the stories. And then she came to a run-through, and she'll be at opening. So she's been with us at very crucial points along the way.
It's very unusual for a play that's been published, for the playwright of that play to show up, you know, as if it's a workshop, right? And to participate, because it's done and dusted. It's been published.
But so. It says a lot about the company and wanting to, I assume, propel the work.
Yeah. So either that or she showed up to protect her intellectual property from us. I don't know.
So could we call this a feminist play?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Thanks. I mean, I don't know if, you know, 200 people just said, well, I'm not
incredibly
going.
Incredibly enlightened of you. Just every play is a feminist play.
Absolutely.
At root. Because
and what? Feminist play and, did you say?
At root, I said.
At root. I thought you said and rude.
No. This play has some really good rude bits. So it will it will appeal both to the high-minded and the those who come in seeking the lowest common denominator. We hope to please.
Well,
on
if
every
that
level.
Doesn't right, if that doesn't bring everybody in,
you, man. You got to get your money's worth. The first $25 and then the second, $15. Or
get
whatever.
Everybody in.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
When you do something like this, this seems like a nice run. You're gonna start tonight, and then you run through September 4th. So you get some time to really get into it.
Well, it's we only have like 18 performances. There are only 18 chances for people to see it because of how it's peppered throughout
company,
the season. Actually, I saw the calendar in its real form just a couple days ago, and I felt like I better get it together because I only have 18 performances to get it right or even close to. So
that's still a good number of performances, isn't it? I mean, compared to some that are either doing 8 or 10.
I mean, back in the day at Shake and Co., we did
Shake and Co.
I heard it. Sounds like the ice cream company.
It is,
You get the peanut butter melt away at the Shake and Co.
Yeah,
so good.
I think, when I did Betrayal here years ago, we did 184 performances of that show. So this feels
This
is fewer. 18 is a lower number than 184. They both have 18 in it. I prefer rehearsal. I like rehearsal. I like, and Toddie and I have known each other for about 8 decades. And it's a pleasure to be back in the room with her. And I like the rehearsal process. Once you get performing, it's great fun, but it's the real advantage of getting into that spongy stuff in rehearsal where all the discoveries are being made and you're falling flat on your face and, kind of hurting people's sensibilities with what you're doing. You know, that's the stuff I really like.
Shakespeare and Company's production of Or by Liz Duffy Adams runs at the Tina Packer Playhouse through September 4th. Alice Regan, Todd Randolph, and Alan Burroughs, thank you so much for being with us today. A delight.
Thank
you.
All here. Thank you very much. And a reminder, you can find out more and get your information and find out how to get tickets and all of that good stuff by going to shakespeare.org, shakespeare.org. You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from Tanglewood on WAMC.